Hey everyone, Lookout Landing Podcast is back with episode 20. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back at it. We've got a good guest here today. It's Darren Willman, the man behind BaseballSavant.com, MLBFarm.com, analytics expert, if you may say. How you doing today, Darren?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. I was doing a radio hit earlier today for ESPN Radio in Pullman, Washington, which is where WSU, Washington State University, is located. Rivals of my alma mater, Washington.
Nice. Big time. Big time radio station there. Sounds like.
Not so much with the big times. Very small town. So tell everyone, if you don't know, I suppose I should say just pause the podcast right now, whenever it is that you're listening to it. Go to BaseballSavant.com. Go to MLBFarm.com. Awesome, incredible resources, great UI, great presentation of data and everything that you could want to know about a player, and all in one place. It's really awesome visualization of things and stuff like that. Why don't you give us kind of a rundown on what, starting with MLB Farm, what that's all about and why you decided to make it?
Sure. Okay. MLB Farm is mostly minor league stats. It has major league stats in it too. But I started it because what I used to do is I would go to MILB.com, the, you know, major leagues version of their minor league systems. And I would have to like pull up box scores for all the teams I keep track of. I'm an Astros fan, and I would have to pull up each box score to see how much the players were doing. It's just really clunky and hard to use. And I realized that they offer the data for free to do whatever you want with. And so I decided for myself, I would create a site that basically consolidates all the box scores for the teams I'm interested in. And so I did that, and it was all Astros related that time. And so I tweeted it out to a couple people, and they're like, hey, can you do that for every team? And I said, yeah, I could probably do that. And then just kind of blossomed into what it is. I added player stats and charts. And then somebody was like, hey, I have some videos. Can you add these? And so I was like, yeah, I can add those. So I added those. So there's prospect videos. And then when the draft came around, people were like, hey, can you pull up the draft from last year and give us their stats to see how they're doing? I was like, yeah, I can do that. So it's all pretty easily laid out now.
Sure.
It's just kind of grown into this pretty big site.
How hard is it to kind of get access to that data and pipe it all in the way that it is? Because, you know, I suffer the same thing, definitely. I think one of the hardest things about keeping up with an organization's minor league teams is that you've got to go to so many different sites. And really, the minor league sites, they all have the same format. They're outdated. They're disjointed. Their player pages aren't very good. So it's nice to have it all in one spot. But I'm just wondering what it takes to mine all that data.
Well, if you understand technology, and like I'm a programmer, this is what I do as my day job, and not this specifically as a day job, it's in a different field, but I mean, it's all XML based, and so if you understand that, it's pretty easy to go out there and grab all the files that are involved, and then once I can put all that information in a database, it's really easy for me to create some web pages that just show the stats.
Very cool. So how much time and maintenance do you have to put into, say, MLB Farm at this point? Or do you have a pretty good grasp on what you're doing and you just kind of let it go?
Yeah, I have like a nightly process that runs. I don't even touch it really anymore. It just kind of runs and imports all the data automatically for me. And so I just check when I wake up in the morning, make sure it all ran properly. And then that's all I do.
That's awesome. And it's just such an incredible resource. Really recommend anybody checking it out. If you're trying to keep up with box scores, see what's going on. Such an easy way to follow an entire organization. And then when you want to get to the big league level, you go to Baseball Savant, which is so cool. It is a resource that I feel like not enough people know about. So let's get it out there. Let's tell everybody what Baseball Savant is and all of the cool things that it does. Break it down for us.
Okay. Yeah, Baseball Savant. That was my first site. I made that about started it probably spring training of last year. And originally, I stumbled across the PitchFX data, and for a while I really didn't know what I was going to do with it, because you know there's obviously Brooks Baseball and FanGraphs and all these other sites that use the PitchFX data, and they do awesome stuff with it. And so I decided I wanted a way to actually look at the data at a little bit more of an in-depth way. And so, like, I wanted to know with runners on, who's throwing the most 95-mile-an-hour fastballs or something like that. And, you know, Brooks Baseball, you really can't do that. That's more of just player only.
Mm-hmm.
My PitchFX search, it kind of allows you to dig a little deeper into it, and it gives you a list of players rather than just looking at one player specifically. But along with that, I mean, there's just so much on there. I pull in daily leaderboards of matchups, like probable pitchers versus players. There's a lot of things that people that do fantasy would probably like. It shows the matchups of how a pitcher is done against a particular roster every day.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa, it gives you charts. And, I mean, you can also pull up videos directly linked to MLB, like from spray charts. It has spray charts, and allows you to click on that, and you can do videos.
Everything.
There's just a ton of stuff on there.
Everything.
Find it down.
A couple cool things, too, that I really love about it is I think the salary breakdown page is super cool. Here we have a leaderboard of who got paid the most per pitch in a certain year and who got paid the least per pitch in a certain year, guaranteed or based on what they actually contributed. That's super cool. I love all the leaderboards and the visual presentation and the spray charts and against a roster and so many ways that you can break it out. It's just... it's super cool. And again, the PitchFX search, if you listeners haven't been to it and you're frustrated like me, sometimes I'm writing something or I'm really wanting to find something out and I just get so locked into only what, you know, Brooks Baseball or Texas League or the way they present their data. There's so many different ways to filter your data on here. So check it out. That's what I'm saying is everyone's got to check it out, right?
Hope so.
Tell me about the spray charts on MLBFarm.com because... this is a presentation of data that I have not seen before, and I didn't even really know it was available. Like, say here, you can go to anybody, say in the Mariners organization, we're looking here at Jabari Blash, and it has his entire spray chart, his heat map of where most of his hits go, so many different visualizations of data. Where does the spray chart come from? Because I feel like I don't see that on regular minor league pages, or if it's there, I'm just missing it.
Right, okay, The spray charts, and they can be inaccurate. I'm not gonna lie, but it's data that's actually in the XML files I import.
Mm.
And basically, if you pull up, like, say, like the game day through MLB.com, and you know, like, you watch the game on there, it charts out where the pitches come in and where the ball lands and stuff. It's essentially just that. The stringers string it. Sometimes it can be inaccurate because they call them in from the game,
right?
From what I understand. But it's just another way. I mean, take it as it is. Probably not 100% accurate, but at least you get the direction of where they're going. You know, who made the play.
Sure.
There's still good information there.
Yeah, I think at that level, a lot of things that you're just looking for are tendencies too.
Right.
You know, where's this? Is this guy rolling over to second a lot, or is he a guy that's going to be hitting line drives opposite field, center field? It's not about the precise location necessarily. It's just getting an idea of a hitter's profile that is it's hard to track. It's hard to follow, and that's such a cool resource that you have there. So that's really right. It's interesting.
Another thing I want to add is I just recently added it. Everything's in real time on that site now too, except for like the charts and stuff with player profiles.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can pull stats in real time. Like you can create a list of players, and when you pull them up, it'll remember. You can either do the cookies, if you know what that is,
mm-hmm.
save it to one browser, or you can link it to your Twitter and you can pull it up on any device wherever you're at by logging in. And you can at any time look up the list of players you want to keep track of. Say you're in a dynasty league or something like that. So it's on a 5-minute delay, so it's pretty much real time.
Right. Damn, that is super cool, man.
So like, well, here for instance, if you go to Seattle and then go to their MLB Top 100 at the top,
mm-hmm.
you're there, and then you can also do this, and then grab today on the drop down list. They haven't played today.
Right, they play tonight.
But if you go to like all top 20 prospects on one page today, there's been a few games.
Yeah. Wow. This is awesome. I'm learning as I go. This is cool. It's really cool. Then you can prospects broken down by team. Man, I feel like I gotta use this resource more. That kind of leads me to my next question is, obviously you have awesome visualization of data here. You've put things together. Who's reached out to you and wanted to work with you, do something with your site, see if you can do something for them, and are you doing anything for them, or is that something you can't talk about?
No, I mean, everybody. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I've talked to Baseball Prospectus, Fangraphs, Baseball Information. I mean, everybody. But, I mean, I've been contacted by two teams for jobs. Front offices don't pay the most.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it would have to be the right opportunity for me to really do anything. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of do it for fun right now. I'm not looking to make money or, you know, that's why there's no ads on it.
Sure.
I don't spend a whole lot of time on it anymore, except for somebody asked me for something. That's pretty easy to do. So, I mean, but a lot of people have contacted me.
So are you doing anything freelance with this kind of thing, or is it just the resources on the site? Have you gone and done work, or is someone asked you to go and do research to contribute to an article or anything like that?
Yeah, I've contributed to quite the Hardball Times. Mm-hmm. I've done some stuff for them. Beyond the Box Score, a lot of those guys use my data, and they'll email me requests, and I'll send them data, no problem.
Interesting. So what's next? I mean, what do you look at on these sites, and you still see things that are missing in the industry, things that need to be added, and where do you go from there?
You know, right now I'm kind of at a loss. Like, I've just been thinking, you know, the way I usually think of something, I'll be like walking somewhere or doing something, I'll be like, hey man, that's a good idea. Or I'll see like a visualization on like a game cast or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, that'd be cool to add. But what I'm really looking forward to, if they ever do release, is the Field FX stuff.
You know? Yeah, that's going to be a game changer. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Think about the visualization and cool things that you could do with that. I mean, we've already seen a little bit of the potential with that kind of that MLB AM teaser video they have with the Jason Hayward dive in center and the way that the ball is tracked and things like that. The way that we grade defense is going to be dramatically changed when that information becomes public.
Wow, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. If they do, I'm hearing a little of both now, that they're not going to release it, or that they are. I don't know.
Is it going to be, is it a team by team thing, or is it just, it's all or nothing?
I think it's going to be an all or nothing. I think they all have to sign off on it.
Okay.
And I don't understand why they wouldn't. I also heard that they might not renew the Pitch FX for next year. So that might not even be public.
Wow.
But I don't understand why they would. It kind of makes, I mean, look at all the analysts that have probably been hired on these teams from messing with this data and doing things, you know, like for instance, the Astros, all those guys, that whole front office or baseball operations, they were all hired because they, you know, Mike Fast and those guys.
Yeah.
From dealing with the Pitch FX data and showing what they can do with it. I mean, it would be a bad decision for them not to release it, I think.
So what happens if it goes away? It's not available to the public anymore, but do the front offices still have access to it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll all have okay, it. They have data that we probably couldn't even dream of.
So how then could they take it away if they still have MLB game day and things like that, and you can still pull the data from those game days? Then in what way would it not become public? Is there some sort of contract that has to be renewed or something?
Yeah, I think they signed the way I understand it is they signed like a 5-year contract or something like that. Yeah, or maybe 6. I forget how long the contract was, but I think it's up this year. And I mean, maybe game day would even get it. I don't know.
Wow. That would be crazy. That would change everything. But it seems unlikely that they would take a step backwards. Then again, it is Major League Baseball.
it is. Well, they sent me a cease and desist recently about all my sites.
Right.
Freezing their logos and stuff. I thought they were going to – the way they word their cease and desist are kind of scary. And, you know, they were like, they thought I was making money and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I talked, and the lady told me to contact her. So I contacted her. And she was really nice. But apparently you can't have the logos, obviously. And I knew I'd probably get something eventually. But apparently another weird thing I never knew was you can use the photographs of the players. You just can't have the logo showing on their hat, which I thought was really weird.
That is super weird.
They're fine to use their hat, their pictures they have, but just not their
right, because there's some sort of separation between MLB and MLBPA, correct?
Yes.
And use a player's likeness because his individuality is a part of the MLBPA, but the logo is a part of Major League Baseball. I feel like there's been this distinction before, like in video games and in things like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
I mean, we think back to some of those old off-brand baseball cards that used to come out in the 90s. I remember, like, Mother's Cookies cards and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, they'd have it airbrushed out.
Right. You give them, like, in a box of cereal.
Yeah, with a post. I think the post cards.
Yeah, post.
Totally, those green cards, and they'd just be brushed out, and they'd all be wearing just...
This will never be worth anything. Cool.
I have a lot of those cards. That's super interesting. Yeah, the whole legality of the thing is very fascinating to me, and it's nice to see that you've at least ducked under the radar there a little bit. But, you know, at this point, I think that resources without logos has very much become the norm. You know, Baseball Prospectus doesn't have them. Baseball Reference doesn't have them. Fangraphs doesn't have them. So I think the way that we view data, it's not necessary.
Right. Of course.
We care more about the way the data looks than what the player looks like now. That's what the super nerds are into. So you've got your two baseball sites. You also have NFLSavant.com. Are you looking to branch out into any other sports, or is there any other sites that you're kind of looking to add to your portfolio, or you're good?
I mean, the NFL one, I kind of stumbled across some play-by-play stuff, and I just, you know, when baseball season was down, I was like, might as well do something, right? So I just kind of threw that one together. And it's not that great. It's just some breakdowns of some charts, kind of looks like. But it gives you some tendencies a little bit.
Just threw it together. Like, it's no big deal. stuff looks extraordinarily complicated to those of us that are not programmers, by the way. And I'm fairly tech savvy myself, so it's very impressive.
Thanks. Well, I mean, I kind of want to do an NBA one, but like with shot charts, I thought about that, but that data is a little harder to get.
Sure. Do you have to file in requests for that data, or is it just a site or a resource that you just go to and you download it from there?
Are you talking for NBA or for...
Just for anywhere. I guess it varies during sports, but where do you get the kind of like these big dump files where you can post them all?
Yeah, MLB is really, they're really good about it. They put... it's basically just a URL you go to, and they have a directory open, and then you can just kind of look through all the data you want. It's actually pretty cool, and they have, for each game, they have all their files broken out into certain types of categories, like inning, the box score, all the stuff that would populate like one of their screens. It's all broken down like that. Like, so if you want to look at the box score on your phone, they have like a file for that goes out and grabs that file, and that's how they're keeping track of certain things.
Wow. Have you ever looked into international leagues, looking into Japanese baseball leagues or perhaps Cuban leagues? Because, I mean, that's one area where I know it's extremely difficult to get data. You can get some in Japan, but, you know, we talk about all these Cuban players coming over, and it's like, I remember when I was initially researching Jose Abreu, his data was missing. The last 2 years of his career, there was no data for it. There was a two-year lag on the data. Have you investigated that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked a little bit. I know the KBO, Yahoo does something where they actually put the speed of pitches and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a one-time thing. If you don't grab it that night, it's gone. There's no way to reproduce it. And I think it's on a pitch-by-pitch basis. So like, I think after the first 10 pitches that they put on the screen, then they're kind of erased and they're gone forever. They don't have anything like MLB does, and you can't even go back historically and look. So you'd have to write something pretty complicated to even try to grab something like that. But the Cuban one's weird because, you know, you're not going to get anything particularly useful besides you know, their lines, like batting average, RBIs, and stuff like that.
Honestly, but, even a place that you could go and get that with consistent information with, you know, a English website would be something.
Well, something tells me the internet connection over in Cuba is not too great.
Yeah, not necessarily. I'm interested. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is kind of something that's specific to the Mariners. You know, we had this whole thing with Jack Cirenzic kind of blow up with the Mariners front office, and it all came out where Tony Blangino, who's now writing for Fangraphs, he's an advanced analytics guy who was with the Mariners for a couple of years. He felt like his work was maybe being undermined and he was being talked down to and stuff like that, and that the top of the organization hires people and employs people that do this kind of stuff, but they don't always listen. And I'm wondering what sense you get in your conversations with front offices and people that have talked to you about the site, if the requests that you get are coming from those people below or if they're coming from the top. Because obviously Houston is trying to follow this new model where they do bring on guys, like you said, like Mike Fast and Kevin Goldstein, guys that, you know, are in the know, shall we say. But where do you think the chain kind of lays within these organizations, if you had to speculate?
Yeah, I'd agree with – I mean, I think who you said, that first guy, but I would probably agree with him. One front office in particular I've talked to, I can't imagine that just by some of the decisions they made that they would listen to their analytics guys. And they have – from what I've talked to, they have a very strong analytics department. But they just it doesn't seem like they listen from what I've gathered. I don't know.
Right. It's so interesting that you can do all this data and you can do all this research, but it all comes down to one move, two moves. There's just not that many major like impact moves made that you have to grade on what kind of philosophy a front office goes by.
Right. And you know, there's so much money. Well, there's a couple things. I mean, you don't pay these guys very much, which is probably the reason why they don't listen to them. But
right.
But then you go out and you spend all this money and just, you know, on somebody, you spend $100 million on a player, then you have some in your farm system that could probably put up comparable numbers. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting to see. We know that the Mariners have an analytics department. We've had someone on the site kind of do an interview with us and tell us what they do and know that they're doing advanced stuff, but it's not necessarily something that we've seen come down from the top. And it's so interesting to see as organizations, you know, morph and as baseball changes, because baseball is changing and we're going to see more and more organizations that kind of take this Houston Astros model where they bring in guys that aren't necessarily baseball guys, quote unquote, but that are, you know, experts in data and analytics. And it'll be very interesting to see where the game goes with those guys, especially as we get new technology like the field effects data and hit effects data and things like that. I mean, how could we lose pitch effects data now? We can't do it.
It would be ridiculous. Well, one thing I want to say, too, is it depends on how the Astros do, too, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Which sucks because you couldn't get dealt a worse hand. For someone to take on that philosophy, it'd be hard to take an organization in worse shape than they took the Astros over.
Sure. I mean, they basically dumped the whole ship. And, you know, 4 years of losing 100 games, this will be five, I'm pretty sure. And they're going to lose 100 games, there's no doubt.
Right.
It's just, you know, the front office can only let that happen for so long, and then they're just going to have to jump and what's going to happen is all these minor leaguers that they have stockpiled will eventually be major leaguers and they'll probably be pretty good. But everybody's going to think that model failed.
Yeah, definitely so. And I think we've seen that in place in other sports before. And all it takes is the one person to run things that way and then it sets it back 5-10 years. There's so much pressure. I want the Astros to do well, but they're in the division and
exactly.
I'd rather root for them than anybody else in the AOS except Oakland, who just, Oakland is doing it again, right? Where they just find some guy and they go, "Yep, you're an all-star this year."
It's amazing. I'd like to see the operation they have.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I want to know what goes on in that front office and where they find guys like Jesse Chavez and be like, "Yep, you can be a starter and you can be a very good one." It's like St. Louis used to do. You're a reliever, why don't you be a starter? Oh, now you're Brandon a great one. Moss, yeah.
Brandon Moss and Reddick, all these guys. Nobody wanted them.
Josh Donaldson breaking out at 20.
They have some type of, I mean, cumulative statistic that they generate themselves that puts these guys at the top, I'm sure. And, I mean, it'd be nice to see them actually win one just so that people can shut up about it.
Right.
But it's crazy how they can regroup like that.
What did Billy Bean say? Maybe my shit doesn't work in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to here, Baseball Savant and things that are on it, I noticed that one of the things that you have on here, which is really cool, and I've used it before, the Mariners had a ridiculous game where Sean Barber was the umpire earlier in the game, and I referenced your site with just how terrible he'd been in the strike zone and inconsistent and things like that. Since you have all this data and you've given application to it for umpires and stuff like that, catching framing and catcher defense is very much like an in vogue thing right now, you know, where in analytics we're finding all this hidden value in players based on how they frame pitches. And it's especially prevalent within the Mariners because Mike Zunino is ranked very high through his career, whereas his backup, John Buck, is ranked really bad through his career. And even now watching the games and being aware of those, you really start to notice guys that earn extra strikes behind the dish. Have you ever thought about kind of building a catcher database of your own? There are plenty of other sites that do it, but kind of having it under your umbrella?
Sure, it's already there, actually.
Oh!
if you go to the PitchFX page...
That's hilarious.
There's actually, you can do queries against catchers by that player type dropdown where it says pitcher. If you click on that, you can switch that to catcher.
Wow!
And what I like to do is you can see, you know, the zones on the top right.
Mm-hmm.
Click 11, 12, 13, 14, and then go to pitch result and click called strike. And then search that, and you'll be able to get the top list of catchers framing outside the zone.
Cool. That is very cool. Well, look at that. I made a request of my own, and you go, "I already got it, dude."
Yeah.
You're on top of it.
Zunino, number 8.
There you go. Yep, there he is. Pretty cool. Doing a good job. I'm sure John Buck is somewhere there near the bottom.
Very bottom.
Is he at the very bottom?
50.
50. There you go.
With the likes of John Baker and Anthony Recker.
Yikes. Those are players. Getting off into just general baseball conversation here, let's talk a little bit about Jose Fernandez and the Tommy John epidemic that's going on right now. And obviously we're getting a little bit outside of the just data analysis thing and kind of a little bit more into speculation. Have you kind of taken any thought to think about what this is going to do financially to the game? Because Peter Gammons had a really interesting tweet this morning that he said, hey, pitchers may not be so hesitant to sign extensions before they hit arbitration, they may want to take those extensions now and get their money when they can. But I think about it on the other side is where general managers can say, well, why would I want to give a guy an extension now with so many people blowing out their elbows when I could just go year to year on a young pitcher?
That's true. I never even thought about it in those terms. But I think it's going to depend on the type of pitcher. If you have a guy who's awesome and he throws, high 80s, low 90s, and looks like he probably won't blow his. It seems like all these power pitchers are the guys blowing out their arms, like Fernandez's and all the other guys. I think it's really going to depend on the pitcher. One thing I've noticed through just looking at some things is it seems like pitchers that throw a really, really hard curveball, that they're really high up on the list or throw really, really hard.
Right.
So, maybe what they'll start looking into is guys who can locate better, do a lot of analysis on pitchers that hit their corners, hit their spots, based on catcher data and meshing it with, pitching data.
Sure. It seems like there's definitely going to be a new market inefficiency that is going to come out of this pretty soon.
Right. And that's a tweet from David Ardsma, who said people are so caught in velocity when they're not really paying attention to pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, Jose Fernandez is obviously a great pitcher, but I mean, he could afford to make mistakes because he throws so damn hard.
Yeah, and if we need any more evidence that this has always been a velocity obsessed league, let's just think about how long Kyle Farnsworth managed to make millions and millions of dollars every single year while being terrible, and how many dollars Fernando Rodney made before he got good, right? Just because he could throw hard.
Exactly.
And these guys can't locate. It makes me very thankful to have a durable pitcher like Felix Hernandez, who's kind of made it through that hard throwing period of his career without blowing out his elbow.
You look at all these guys, once they get through that stage, like for instance, I ran some stats the other day. Verlander, when he first came in the league, was at the top of throwing pitches 95 miles an hour or faster. And now he's at the bottom. He's only thrown a few pitches this year when he's needed to, 95 plus. And same thing goes for Strasburg. They're just learning how to pitch. Hernandez is probably the same way. You just, as you get older, you figure out your mechanics a little better, and you can throw strikes when you need to. Throwing 94 is no 93, 94 is still fast.
Right. I mean, Felix sits routinely at 90 to 92 now, and he is he's striking out more batters than he has before, and he's walking less people than he has before. It's added to his control. It's really made him, and in a lot of ways, in his peripherals, a better pitcher. Of course, he hasn't had the best defense behind him in the last couple of years. He's been a little unlucky. That's let him down, but this is going to be an interesting chain reaction to see what happens. And I also think it's going to extend into player development and training too. I mean, what preventative measures can even we take to make sure that these guys take better care of their elbows?
Yeah, it's very weird, especially this year. I mean, it's way up this year.
Yeah, this is not going to get rid of pitch counts. I mean,
no, it's, well, I mean, I've seen a couple of those charts people have been tweeting around. It's, you know, they show like 1975. Obviously, that was when the first one was, or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. There was one, and then, you know, it's obviously steadily grown. But I think a lot of it has to do with science, too. You know, people know what to look for now. It's easier to tell the UCL tear, where they probably wouldn't have given the surgery, or they would have pitched through it somehow.
Right. And then it's just like, well, this guy sucks now.
Right, exactly.
Because I think that's, you know, when people always talk about, oh, the good old days and pitchers threw 40 starts a year and then 280 innings and stuff like that. Yeah, but have you looked at how short some of these pitchers' primes were?
Right.
And then they just couldn't strike anyone out anymore or couldn't do anything else? It's probably because they're playing through a partially torn UCL.
Exactly. Well, probably fully torn. They're just throwing 80 miles an hour now. And you know, and it's so, yeah, it probably shortened their careers. And I mean, like Nolan Ryan, he's obviously the exception to the rule. I mean, that dude was throwing 100 when he was 40 something. They said that they clocked him at throwing 80 a couple years ago on the first pitch.
That's ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing just amazes me, too. I don't know if you played baseball. I played baseball when I was younger, was not very good at all. But, I mean, I went down to spring training. They got the radar guns down there at the stadium, and I tried to light it up. First time I'd thrown hard in many, many years, and I threw as hard as I could, and I think I topped at 64.
I actually played baseball in college, so I pitched a little bit in high school, so I could hit. I'm not a big guy by any measure, but I was probably low 80s. I
mean, sure.
You know, and that's not bad, but yeah.
That's I think that always blows my mind when you look at starters that are out there and they're intentionally walking someone and it still picks it up on the radar at like 78 miles an hour. They're just lobbing them into home plate.
Well, it's funny too, because even when you watch on TV and it's going 95, you're like, that's not that fast.
Yeah. No, it's really fast. If you ever get in the cages or, geez, live pitching, God forbid, if you ever get in the cages and you pump that stuff up to 80, I feel like it's at 85 and I can't even make contact.
Yeah, I went to the cages the other day, and it's the first time probably since college, and I graduated 10 years ago. And I mean, I you're right. I stepped into like 75 and I was like, and it blew my mind. I was like, oh man, that's fast. I didn't realize it was that fast.
It's so crazy to me thinking about, or we go back and we talk about velocity too. Think about the Mariners right now with Chris Young and how effective he's been, and there's absolutely no reason why he's been that effective. Like, he defies every single thing that you would think makes a pitcher effective. He sits 84 to 86 mile an hour as a right-handed pitcher. Those guys just, I mean, if you're a lefty and you're like Mark Burley or something, you can kind of get away with it. Nobody throws that slow and gets away with it. And nobody gives up 60% fly balls and gets away with it either. But he does, and he's made a career out of it. And he doesn't, like, he's not missing any bats either. It's hilarious to watch.
It's crazy. The only thing I could think of is because he's so tall. Like, maybe the ball gets in there. It's probably deceptively fast.
That's right. I mean, that's the argument, is that he's got this just really long reach. And, he releases so close to the plate, it's hard to pick up coming out of his hand. He must have some sort of deceptive delivery as well. But
right. Hides the ball well, too. It's probably a combination of a lot of things. But still, it is pretty funny to watch.
I was asked the other day, who defied the odds? I mean, who confounds metrics as much as Chris Young? And I just sat there and I could not think of anybody that really has dodged it as much as he has. I mean, I guess there's guys like Bronson Arroyo has been able to do it for a couple years. There was a couple years where Matt Cain was doing it, but consistently through his career, Chris Young has given up 60% fly balls. And when he's healthy, he has been a respectable pitcher. It's amazing.
It is quite amazing.
There's outliers for everything, I suppose.
But you're right, like Burley and, you know, Jamie Moyer and guys like that. That still amazes me, too. The fact that he can go out there and throw 83 miles an hour and still get guys out, it's pretty impressive. You got to get it.
Now we got Julio Franco trying to make his way back. I don't know if he's trying to make his way back. 55 playing an independent ball. That's amazing. I'm kind of mad that the Marlins are really good right now, because they'd be the perfect team to sign him for like a day and have him getting it bad at 55 years old.
Hey, bring it to the Astros.
Sure.
we'll take all that slop.
He's got plenty of history in the state of Texas. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Give him a shot.
What do you think about the Astros season so far, and how do you feel about everything that's gone on so far this year and all the moves that they've made under the new regime, given what they inherited?
It's pretty frustrating, actually. I think this offseason they should have signed some pitching. Granted, you know, you're not going to hit that great, but there was a lot of guys on the market. You have the lowest payroll in baseball by far. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just go sign a Kyle Loesch or, you know, a Matt Garza or somebody that can pitch. You know, like, their pitching staff is just horrible. A couple guys have been a surprise, like Dallas Keuchel, but by all accounts, he's not any good, really. He's a spot pitcher.
You want to give yourself some tradable assets, too, right? I mean, if you've got a dump, you know, if you want to go get a guy like Scott Feldman or something like that, if you've got to dump a certain amount of money into him, if he's a decent pitcher, you're probably going to be able to get a return for him after a while anyways.
Well, I mean, sure. But are they past the point of dumping? I mean, you can't keep dumping and dumping. You got to start building at some point, right? So, sure. I mean, you know, they brought up Springer. This is a perfect example of why I'm frustrated with the Astros. Okay. Last year, he passed his Super 2, and they don't bring him up. They leave him Springer in AAA, 24 years old, and they leave him in AAA. And then this year, they panicked. You know, 15 games in, and they're hitting 150 as a team. So you throw everything out the window, and you bring Springer up to try to spark-plug the team. And now he's hitting not very good, but he could have gotten all these at-bats out last year.
Yeah.
And been, you know, a little more seasoned and ready to go. Things like that. And, you know, obviously they have John Singleton as like a top-notch first base prospect. For whatever reason, they're leaving him down there. And that's got to be money related. You know, they're going to bring him up in June or after, you know, Super 2 or something.
Right. And the Super 2 deadline is, I think,
August.
Yeah. Man. So, I mean, and your club control deadline is coming up pretty soon. I think it's in about 3 weeks, right?
Right. So, I mean, they'll probably bring him up then, but you know, it's either too late at that point. They're going to be 30 games under 500.
Right.
I mean, they need to decide. It seems like they're not completely decided on what they want to do. Do they want to win now, or do they want to keep getting the first pick in the draft? I don't know.
And meanwhile, this is becoming a division that is four strong. I mean, I'm not saying that the Mariners are a playoff team right now, but you've got four teams that you can legitimately say, hey, they're 500 or maybe better this year. And the separation between them is getting large.
Right. And, you know, it takes great. Yeah, the Astros have all these great prospects. But first of all, prospects are prospects. You don't know how they're going to pan out in the pros. And the Rangers are actually, they're not going to be that good this year, by all accounts.
Geez, Matt Harrison's career might be over.
Yeah, and injuries just, I mean, they're plagued right now.
Yeah.
But, it's just frustrating as a fan. I'm sure you know all about,
Oh, yes.
But it'll be hard. I mean, hopefully next 2 years they'll have all these prospects up and they'll be at least not a 100-loss team at that point.
They have to go upwards at some point, and eventually they're going to have to start hitting on these guys. And I think Springer is going to be a terrific player. I think he's a talented enough hitter to get around the contact issues and stuff like that. But it's rough watching him at the plate right now. He's overmatched.
He is overmatched. I think a lot of it's maybe most of it's nerves. I mean, by all accounts, you're right. He's going to be a stud. He's too talented not to some point put it all together. I mean, he's hit at every level. but sometimes that happens, you know. Guys are good in the minors, they're career minor leaguers, and hopefully he's not that.
Yeah. I tell you, the move that kind of confounded me the most that a lot of people applauded was I didn't really like the extension for Jose Altuve. I think Altuve is a fairly overrated player. Now, he's having his best offensive season yet, so that's good. But he's not a great defender. He's never been that great of a hitter. I mean, the 2 years previous to this, he was worth less than three wins combined. So I don't know. Your thoughts on that? Yeah,
I agree. I'm not a huge Altuve fan. I think he's a good player. I mean, I'm not going to knock him, but he's not like a guy that is a centerpiece on a good team. You know, he will be an eight-hole hitter maybe a two-hole hitter on a good team.
Right.
But he's not somebody you build your team around. It kind of seems like that's what they were trying to do. But also the way it works these days, you got to lock
it's a cheap extension. I mean, it's not right.
You got to lock these guys in earlier. What if he does turn out to be awesome? Then you're 5 years from now, you're not going to be able to re-sign him.
Right. And it's two sides to it. You know, I think about you've got so many moving pieces and you don't know who's going to be part of your future and he could go down or up, but you have some time to figure it out. I'm not sure that guaranteed money is necessarily the way you want to go.
But you could also trade that contract. You know, it's such a team friendly contract.
Someone's going to need a second. Altuve is going to be a second baseman in this league for the next 5 years, barring a complete collapse. So
sure.
I see.
I think he's only 23 or 24. He's still young.
Very young. And is Altuve really 5'5"? I think he's probably 5'3".
Yeah, I've never actually stood next to him, so he looks like he's about 5'5" or under for sure. I mean, there's no doubt.
There's that great picture of him and I think, I think it may be Chris Carter or someone like that when he was on the A's, had hit a double and he was standing next to Altuve at second base, and the discrepancy is just hilarious.
Yeah, there's also one of him and J.J. Watt standing next to each other. It's pretty good.
Good stuff. Well, the Astros, a frustrating franchise. The Mariners, a frustrating franchise. Again, I just have to say thanks for doing this and tell everyone to go check out Baseball Savant, check out MLBFarm.com. They're such good resources. They're in my bookmarks. I go to them every day to see kind of what's going on, especially MLBFarm.com. Do it in the morning and see what's happened all across the league. Keep an eye on those guys and who's developing and have it all in one place. It's so nice. You can follow Darren at Twitter at Darren W. That's with one R in Darren. And I just appreciate you coming on, man. And I know we're going to see quite a bit more of you over the next 2 years as this continues to grow in popularity.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm glad to do it anytime.
Good stuff, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you later, Scott.